So welcome, diehards, those who want to stay to the very end, those who obviously don't live in Houston. All the people who do live in Houston have long since departed, as they wanted to beat traffic. Exactly. So I will leave here, and I will go down there, and I will hang out there for a while before I go home, because I'm the same way. You know, at this point, you might as well just stay till 6:37 because you're not getting home any faster. So this is the last session, troubleshooting, installation, and updates. So what are we going to learn about? We're going to talk about logging, the installation logs, activation logs, the coexistence, repairing, and uninstalling of Office 365 Pro Plus. Oh, no problem. Guy bailed on me already? Man. At least he learned something. He needed the word unexpected. The slides? It's on the Office 365 technical network, which is yammer.com/ITPro network. So if you're not a member of that Yammer group, you're already kind of provisioned to be that. It came in your welcome email, and that is supposed to have all this content. Rumor has it it's not there. Someone has told me that the slides that were there only had like the intro slide, and that was it.
Yeah.
So there are placeholders. So I will make sure that I get my slides up there, that they're, because I have the customer-ready versions of the slides. It's just, when I went to the Yammer site, it looked like it all was there, so I was like, all right, and I moved on. Apparently, it's not all there. So anyone here not interested in, because I already lost one member. I think I recognize every face in here, so I think I'm good. We're all here for Office Pro Plus. So logging, where are the logs? What are we logging? How do I read these logs? These logs help us troubleshoot and fix potential install issues we have with Office 365 Pro Plus. Now, Office 365 Pro Plus typically either works or doesn't. So it's different than the old MSI installs where, you know, in the MSI install, you could have had corrupted builds, and you know this DLL had potentially got corrupted during download, but it installed correctly because it found the right DLL, right? And the MD5 hash was correct, so it said fine. It put it on the machine, but it doesn't work. Well, that doesn't work. Those processes aren't what we use in Office 365 Pro Plus, right? Because we have that big DAT file, then we have the tiny little chunk bits. And then as those chunk bits come down, right, then they're crafted, they're validated, and then they're put into the environment. If they're not validated, if we have a problem, we alert you up early that, hey, we have a problem, I can't read this, something's going on. So typically it either installs or it doesn't. It's not something that, you know, we find routinely that it installs, it says it's fine, but when you run it, it's not fine. So if it installs, it's typically fine. Nothing's guaranteed, right? It's software, right? It's computing. Anything can happen. But we find that the doing the install is, you know, typically the problem there is it's going to be connectivity. Doing the activation, the problem there typically is going to be provisioning, right? Or it's going to be proxy. And then doing the launching of the application, right, then we're going to see those kind of things. So we'll actually walk through some of these logs. I'll show you how we kind of look at them and parse them up and what they look like. So what's the basic flow of an actual install? So the flow of an install is setup.exe runs, right? So it does the basic prereqs, it checks. It does the download and it runs the client. And then it goes into the click-to-run.exe mode where it's actually starting to build and populate your image. So once it's done the full recs and it goes to the click-to-run service, right, that's where it's going to drop down into the system mode where it's actually doing your configuration. It's actually streaming the bits onto the box. You're getting your integration points. So it's reading the add-ins and all those parts and pieces, and it's making sure everything's configured correctly. All of that's happening during that mode, right? And then what I always like to say is this first run experience, this is where we give you the opportunity to watch the video. You know why we give you the opportunity to watch the video? Because if you look at my hand over here, right, you don't see that I'm over here, I'm doing this stuff. And by the time you see, okay, we're done, hey, look, it's ready to go, right? So it gives you the look and feel and experience like Office is deployed and nothing flat. And in reality, Office still takes a little bit of time to install, but we give you the ability to use Office right away. So typically, you can use Office in about a two-minute window. So within 2 minutes of starting this process, I can start using Word, or I can start using Excel, because the method it uses is when it's doing the streaming component of the bits I need, it's giving you the bits you need to run the component you're running. So that's why you'll see when you click it off and it gives you that first run experience, it says Office is ready to use. Right? But then you get the little piece of toast that pops up and says, you know, Office is 35% installed, 47% installed, right? And that's, so we're still installing in the background and finishing up the installation process, but you can start using it right away. Now that's true and not true for some things, right? If you have a Power BI version of an Excel spreadsheet that has, you know, all these slicers and macros built into it, and I hit the 2 minute mark and it says, okay, Office is ready to use, and the first thing I do is double click that file, right? It's not gonna work. What it's gonna do, it's gonna pop up a little screen saying, Office is getting ready to work, right? And it's gonna give you the spinning experience until it's able to pull down through bits what it needs to provide that capability to you, and then it's going to give you that experience. So. Setup logs. So where are my setup logs? So I can set a registry value while creating my setup logs to, you know, put my click-to-run override setup log information in this location. So you'll see that the format is going to be the machine name dot log, right? And we're going to put it in two locations, actually. We're going to put it in winder temp, and we're going to put it in temp. So how do I find out what winder is, and how do I find out what temp is? Type the command set. Go to command line, type the word set. It'll tell you what this system variable winder is, which is usually Windows. Unless you've been doing install, or you like to install it in a different directory name. And then the temp folder, which is typically another location. So let me switch modes. Bring up command prompt. Okay, we good here? Set. So here's my winder. Right, and I'm not Southern, so that I'm not saying winder, right? It's Windows. Right? And then here's my temp. So temp is usually users mic at beta local temp. Yours may be different. So when you go looking for these files to go read through those, especially on individual user computers, this is where you'll jump out to, and this is where you'll go look for those files. So let's go to winder temp and look for my machine names, since we're already sitting here. Windows temp. All right. So a lot of data gets written there. As you can see, we're writing a lot of information. But what I'm looking for is Surface Pro 3, you know, the date, and the log name. So I can go through and look at some of these little ones, and, you know, that's quite unimpressive. It just says, yeah, everything's hunky-dory. We're rolling along real well. Nothing to see here. But we're looking for is we're looking for when we have issues. So we'd, you know, specifically be trying to find maybe a large file. So I have a large log file that's going to give me information that'll tell me what's my potential issues. So I can view this file in Excel. So I can take this log file and add it to Excel. So let me open Excel. And drag and drop this file onto Excel. And now I get my beautiful little tab delimited view of what I'm looking for. So collect all my data, insert table, yep. So now while this hourglass spins and formats this into a nice little usable table for me, it'll give me the ability to then start doing filtering. So then I can go ahead and start filtering out this information. So I could have just as easily just done this search within the notepad document, but sometimes the information I'm searching for could be in multiple cells, so then I get into the popped around. What this does is it's kind of giving an example of when I look at this level. So what I'm going to go through here is I'm going to see these various levels of, you know, issues that are occurring. Some are going to be, you know, normal, some are going to be medium, some will be high, some will be unexpected. Right. All I'm going to do here is look for the word unexpected and then see what happened that was unexpected to the environment. So I can go ahead, select level. Unexpected. And eventually it'll catch up and it'll tell me that these two events occurred that were unexpected. These two unexpected events were related to, and if I remember correctly when I was looking this up earlier, was unable to read the cab file. So I was trying to do something, I couldn't find the cab file, I couldn't read it, right? So this was an unexpected event. So if I was troubleshooting an issue on a machine right now that was having a setup issue, I would go to this log, specifically look for the events unexpected, right? And I would see a ton of data, right? Especially if it's having an issue. I don't have a broken machine. My machine's pretty good. You know, whatever instance occurred during this time that was mildly unexpected has long since been solved because I have, you know, all those other logs that all say life is good, right? And life for me is good right now on this particular machine. So that's what I would use to when I have an installation that needs to be troubleshot, then you would go to that directory, which is winder, temp, or temp, and it's in both. So this example, it actually writes them to both, and then look for that information and see, and it'll tell you specifically what went wrong. Yeah. Another place you can look would be where? The setup log that you set up in your config XML file. Come on, we've been doing this for a day and a half. I've called that thing out 100 times. That same thing, right? That setup log would have information. So especially if you're getting into the, we don't even get to the real good setup phase and it dies, then that setup log is going to have that data. That's the user logging services. I think that's what ULS stands for, but I'll have to look that up because I'm not exactly sure. And okay, here. Present. enter, extend. Almost there. Come on.
You can do it.
So Office Pro Plus activation activities. So what happens when I activate Office Pro Plus? So this happens once. So when I do my activation, it does one thing one time. Right? And it goes through and it collects my information and it sends my user ID. It sends my product key, it sends my computer name, and it sends my machine ID. And it sends this to Office 365. Now, why does it do that? Well, my authentication made sure I'm a valid user, right? But it makes sure that my key is still good, right? But it's also one of my five. Remember, every time we install, we get one of five, right? So as long as this goes through and says, yep, that's my one of five, right, we're good to go. I get my activation. After that, right, because again, remember, the subscription checks every day. You know, am I still good? Am I good? Yep, okay, right. It checks every day. Is my subscription good? After 30 days, it goes into reduced functionality mode, right? We get the little nags and the bars, and we see that. But the only thing it sends now is the product key, right? So once we're activated, now all we're sending is the product key, right? So that's all that's being sent to the activation server. And then the product key management, so once a month when it's doing the product key management, the only thing we're sending is the product key. So here we're talking about, you know, subject to change, so this could change. I don't know, we may drag it out longer. I don't think we're going to shorten it, but we may make it a little longer. We've gotten feedback on that where, you know, maybe we want a larger grace period as we potentially look at a VBS script. We might potentially see that grace period has already changed. Not that we would know. So Office 365 talks to, or the Office 365 Pro Plus client talks to Office 365 and communicates to these URLs in an anonymous access fashion. So if you're in an environment that requires authenticated proxy to talk to any URL, that's going to be a problem. Because authenticated proxy is not going to talk to these URLs because the system event is an anonymous event that is talking to those URLs. So you could whitelist those URLs and you'll be fine, right? Or you just have to allow these to do proxy bypass. Now notice a bunch of these are your CRLs, your certificate revocation lists, right? And then your Office Apps Live, the Microsoft.com, the SLS, so the login services. These are the ports that Office 365 talks to, specifically for Office Pro Plus. There are others that it works with. The TechNet article that covers that in depth is, if I toggle out, I'm going to mess up my desktop again. The TechNet article that covers this, so you just go Bing that right there. So if you just Bing Office 365 URL IP address, it'll give you all the ports and all the URLs that each individual service uses. So as you go through the list of what services are using what and in what fashion, right, that list will tell you. Right? The thing I just want to emphasize is it's an anonymous access. So anyone here require authenticated proxy to do anything on the internet? Okay, so assuming the user has used the internet, right? Then, so in your case, what will happen is if they haven't used the internet, right? And he goes to do the check update, right, which happens at 15, 45, and an hour and 15 minutes, right? It will fail. But then that'll just tick another day, right, into their 30-day grace period. So, but if that happens endlessly, so that they never connect to the internet, right, and your proxy doesn't allow them to do this anonymous access, they will actually hit reduced functionality mode.
Does the license check happen only when they launch the application, or is it kind of huge after you launch it after a while, it'll reactivate or retry it after a certain period of time?
15, 45, okay. An hour 15.
Sorry.
And then it goes, all right, try again later. But it also tries on launch. So as soon as you launch the app, it tries. Hey, I want to activate. And yeah, it's just a background chat. Now the initial activation, right, there's kind of, you sit there, you go through the activation process, you get the spinning hourglass for a second. It goes, okay, you know, we know who you are, life is grand. But after that, then it's, you know, it's the initial launch and then those little time periods. And if it doesn't find it, no big deal, it doesn't stop, it just keeps working. But as you're troubleshooting, if you get into the state where you're going, you know, I've had these few users, and theirs keeps popping up saying you're not licensed, and you're looking at the license and doing those things, we find a lot of times that your proxies become an issue in Office 365. And the reason they become an issue in Office 365 is you built your web proxies. And Office 365 is a web-based service, internet service, that wasn't designed to accommodate the traffic load that you're now putting upon it. So originally it was designed just to do web traffic, which was no big deal. And you just thought about it as web surfing and doing these things. But now you're running Office 365 through it, and you're running SharePoint through it, you're running Exchange through it, and you're running OneDrive through it in its sync process, right? And you're running all these other things through that proxy. And those proxies aren't right-sized. So in all of our networking conversations, we had that where we talked about those things. So when you're troubleshooting, and the reason I bring that up to emphasize is when you're troubleshooting these kind of issues, look at your proxy logs on your proxy servers and see if you're getting denies for that particular IP address or that particular person, depending on how you're doing your logging. But you may see that. I run into that frequently. Right? And you know, you can either do proxy bypass, you know, allow to whitelist. You know, there's a couple of things to choose from, but those are the ones that really jump up at you. So set your TCO logging, and what does TCO stand for? I have no idea. It's an internal acronym, but it's called. I doubt that, but yeah, that's what everyone else knows it as. But if you set your TCO logging level to 1. So you set this registry key, right, and you can just cut and paste the, you know, reg, add, debug, and I did that on mine, right? And then I go look in my temp folder, right, and I will see my app.exe.log. This is where I'm going to see that kind of rich information around Word. So if I'm having a particular Word issue, right, I can go to that directory. So again, let me jump out of here. Let me go to duplicate mode. Look at there. It's like I've done this before. winword.exe.log. So it's a pretty good size file, 2.5 megabytes. Again, you know, we're trying to find that word unexpected. Help if I spelled it correctly. Good Lord. I can't type for the life of me. If I could see my keys, I would be in good shape. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to force you into the Excel version. You're right, I do. That would be cool if the Cortana existed in this thing. That might be in an update. I don't want to pin it. There we go. Isn't this exciting? I did. I did. I said it was going to be this way. Lock for editing by another user. Okay. Yeah. So while this spins, where the data, nope. Where was that? Come on. Insert table. Oh, there it is. Thank you. It moved on me. Not enough memory. Ah! Consider using a 64-bit version. So in there, it would go through and actually, in my file, it has no unexpected, because I was doing this last night to validate that this worked. But here's my unexpecteds from my others. That tell me what my issues were, that my product ID DLL was having issues with my machine ID on this session ID. So obviously, during sending my product ID, that it had an issue. It obviously resolved itself because I'm using it. But that's setting the logging levels. So the key to setting this logging level at the app level is to set this debug CTO trace to 1. That's not a kind of an undocumented. This is a well-known old Office method for getting logging level on Office apps, that you set that trace value, and it will give you that information. So the OSPP, so the Office Software Protection Platform Service. So what is the OSPP? The OSPP is the process at which Office validates your licenses are correct. So the OSPP is responsible to go out and say, how old's my license? And basically what it does is it says, you know, have I validated my license in X amount of time? Yes or no? If the answer is no, then it goes, all right. And it moves on to the next step of, now that I haven't validated my time in you know, how long has it been? And there's a little C script power or a VB script that you can run that will give you that commandlet. And I actually have that little commandlet name. I'm looking it up. But that C script commandlet that allows you to look up that data. OPPVBS. So there's a OPPVBS commandlet that is installed in the programs Microsoft Office, Office 15 directory. And what that does, and I can actually probably go there. So I'm going to escape, go back into here. So it's going to go through, and it's actually going to look at my status, and it's going to say, what is my status? So I have 41 days of grace left on my status from the last time my license was validated. So that tells me that if I turned my machine off the wire for 41 days, I'd actually be okay. Right? So remember, I've been telling you it was 30 days, it was 30 days, it was 30 days, and then all of a sudden, hey, it's 41. And actually, I think it's higher than that, because when I was doing this the other day, I had 44. So what I could do is I could disconnect my network, make sure wireless is off. I could set my clock forward. So I'm good with, say, January 30th. Okay. So now I am January 30th. And it tells me that I have 12 days of grace left in my process. So not exactly sure how it's calculating date and time, because that was exponentially more than those few days. But then my Word or Excel should then go into the, hey, you know, you need to update. And go into this mode. So this is the reduced functionality mode. I have exceeded my time limit for my authorized licensing activation, and I get this little red bar. So this red bar just says, I haven't activated, right? You have exceeded my time, and I have to go out and get my license key back, right, to enable full functionality mode. Because right now I'm in reduced functionality mode. Once I get the business bar red banner, I'm now in reduced functionality mode, which is Word viewer, PowerPoint viewer, Excel viewer mode. So for those who have individuals who work out on platforms or out on ships or that are going to be away long, long periods of time, Office 365 Pro Plus is probably not the best client for them. Perhaps the standard Office 2013 Professional is the better choice. So, and that's okay.
Do you know when the nagging starts?
For?
Like if you haven't checked in
yet. It's day 30. Okay. So at day 30 is when it goes, hey, you know, we're unable to see something here, right? And kind of does that interface. But it's day 30. It's not like we get into 25 days and say, hey, you really should kind of do this, right? Because in the background, it's still just kind of checking, I need to go do this, I need to go do this, I need to go do this. Once I do it, you know, I'm good. So let me set my date and time back to normal. It's just got to connect to the internet to get its information. Today is December 2nd. Now, hypothetically, I should see 41 days again. So I'm back to 41 days. On my grace, letting me know that, you know, I'm okay. This is a, you know, I show you this to let you know that we have a service, right? The OPSS service, or the OSPP service. And that service is used to validate licensing. And there are occasions, because people haven't connected, they may have NIC problems or whatever, right? They may have lost anonymous rights to that portal. You know, you may have put in a new proxy, you know, maybe a firewall thing. Any one of those kind of things can cause the office to stop functioning, right? And then it gives you kind of where to start troubleshooting, right? And normally what I try to do is I try to work in reverse. So, you know, most of the time, unless you've sent out a group policy or you've done something, they've played with their personal firewall or something of that nature, which, you know, in corporate usually doesn't happen too much. It's typically at the proxy server. Someone has made some kind of setting on the proxy server that has impacted this person.
In your administration console, can you see where machines that have this on it are going and that too long? So they haven't checked in, does it show somewhere on the report or something?
It does not. So that is not a standard report that we have today that will say, yeah, this machine hasn't checked in this period of time. So in your user console, it'll just say which machines I've activated, right? And that's all it'll say.
I think that would be pretty valuable.
That'd be a nice feature. You're not the first person to bring that up, right? Notice I said today, right? I've made no commitments or any, but that comment and request has been made before and has been put into the system. So PowerShell may be the answer there. So it may be a PowerShell setting that we can go through and go ding, ding, ding. There you go, right? You get that. But it's not just a simple, friendly report that you go to your wizard and pop it up. So coexistence, I've talked about this endlessly. I've beat this into your head. It's not a long-term solution. It does work. When you run a repair can reassociate which files go to where. So, you know, there are certain concerns. Oh, I'm on presenter mode. There are certain times or concerns when that becomes an issue. So, you know, be aware that doing that could have an impact. Sometimes there are issues, and we're just documenting them here. Right, where certain versions of Office 2007 without certain hotfixes already prevent certain things from working correctly. So you may have to put Service Pack 2 on your 2010 if you want to do a coexistence with Office 365 Pro Plus. Doable. It can work for a while. Don't recommend it as a long-term solution because, as the previous slide said, we're going to mess up extensions eventually. And then that's when everyone gets really unhappy, right? Because the wrong version of Word is opening, the wrong things are happening. I launched this, and now it's launching Word 2007. Why is it not launching Word 2013? So how do I repair things? So I can go in and do the standard local repair, right? So go into Control Panel, Programs, pull up the Office, say Change, do a repair, and it'll do a repair on my Office. So if I repair my Office 2010, guess what it does to associations? Puts them on 2010. Right? If I do a hotfix on 2010, guess what it does with associations? Puts them on 2010. If I do a service pack on 2010, guess what it does with associations? Puts them on 2010. Because it's the last version of Office to go through. And remember, Office has always done this process where it says, I need to associate all DOCX to me. I need to associate all XLS to me, right? So Office MSI doesn't typically have monthly updates. A security update could, right? It just depends. Right. So those could, right? And then that's why we try to emphasize, and I've been really kind of beating this drum pretty hard, is know that this file association is going to have a potential level of dissatisfaction, right? But solves an immediate need, but helps you realize this is not a long-term solution. If you have to run side-by-side long-term solution, think of a VDI or think of you can't use AppV, but you know, think of something in that other method of deploying those apps to those users. So, you know, a VDI solution may be a good choice there. So put the old version on a VDI. You know, you can do that in Azure now. Just saying. Yes?
I know you speak more towards Office 365, but I know even over the last 2 weeks, we've had an issue where we go to run the quick repair and online repairs using Windows 8.1, and it completely uninstalls Office 2013 when you reboot the machine.
That's an awesome feature, isn't it?
It is pretty cool.
That shouldn't be the case, and I sure hope you have a support case open on that,
yes,
and someone's working it.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
We've got six machines and one client that all did the same thing.
That's awesome, man. That's what we call an undocumented feature. Oh, man, I wish you were in all my other sessions. Right? We'd have great jokes going. So the online repair, so we've kind of talked about how you can do repairs through the CDN using the commandlet tool, right? So and then you can also do rollbacks. You can roll back through group policy. You can roll back through the Office C to R client.exe. So if you deploy and it doesn't work, we can roll back. We did that during our update session. So lo and behold, here is your favorite slide of the day. Any questions? Any concerns? Anything that just makes you go, You guys held up the whole time. No, that was great. Thank you.
Appreciate it.